listening to Conversational Plug on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne and Weathers. I am the show host of Conversational Plug. Our co-host, Bishop Kevin Akins, will be on our radio show momentarily. He's coming out of a meeting and he'll be a few minutes late. So looking forward to our co-host joining this conversation. We have Bishop Steve Avenger, St. Matthew's Baptist Church. We're going to allow him to introduce himself, well-known in the city of Philadelphia. I also want to give this brief announcement on September the 11th at Vision of Hope Baptist Church. There's an event taking place at 3 p.m. called Battle for the Families 2022 Church Tour. We're going on tour, hosted by Willie Moore Jr. The Battle of the Family of 2022 Church Tour will be an exciting church takeover. Exciting church takeover that you don't want to miss. Bethany Christian Services first Battle for the Family winner, Bam Travis, will be performing his new single, Compromise, produced by Fred Hammond. Proceeds is to support kids and families in Philadelphia. The whole purpose of this event is to draw attention to the need for many to get involved, especially African-American churches, with the whole situation of foster families. Amen. So asking to come out September the 11th, 2022, to Vision of Hope Baptist Church. It's not just a name, but it is a Christ-centered lifestyle. Hey, what's up, Bishop Steve Avenger? How you doing, man?
How you doing, my good friend?
Good.
God is good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself for those on the radio. Now, you used to host a show on
the Power of Power.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Those who may have not heard of you or just haven't seen you in a while, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Again, I'm Steve Avenger. I am in my celebrating 35 years pastoring. In October, as a matter of fact, and pastoring the Greater St. Matthew Baptist Church in our third location now at the 1538 Wingo Hocking Street. I also serve as assistant presiding bishop of New Day Interfaith Fellowship of Churches and Ministries. We're headed towards our convocation coming up in September 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It'll be held at the Greater St. Matthew Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, and we're looking forward to our churches coming from Maryland and from New York and from Pennsylvania. We're looking forward to seeing a great convocation during that time. And also, we've been working with G. Lamar Stewart on Corner Connections or Corners to Connections, and we'll be out there tonight with him, some of my men. Some of the men that I pastor tonight from 9 to 11. And so this, you know, you're doing a great job and it is time for all of us to come together because we're having quite a time, obviously, both not only in the world, but also in the church.
Yes.
So we've got a lot of work to do. None of us was expecting it. But then that's how God does when we get too comfortable.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to let you know, the producer, Brett, who produces my radio show, he let me know he produced your show.
I was getting ready to say something I recognize his voice.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, our show today is dealing with the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago and the Republicans' response. So starting out, CNN reported on Tuesday, August the 9th, 2022, the FBI executed a search warrant Monday at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Palm Beach, Florida, as part of an investigation into the handling of presidential documents, including classified documents that may have been brought there. Three people familiar with the situation told CNN. On a quick sidebar, his CFO has pleaded guilty to tax evasion, and it's... And just reported that the CFO also is going to testify against Trump as well. Well, I'm going to you, yeah. So the former president confirmed that the FBI agents were at Mar-a-Lago and said they even broke into my safe He was at Trump's Tower in New York when the search warrant was executed in Florida, a person familiar told CNN. My beautiful home, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, is currently under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents, Trump said. The extraordinary move to search the home of a former president raises the stake for the Justice Department and comes as Trump's legal problems continue on multiple fronts. Trump also is expected in the coming months to announce he will launch another bid for the White House in 2024. Hey, Bishop Avenger, first of all, tell me your thoughts. What was your thoughts that occurred when you heard that the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago?
I was not surprised, to say the least. But even more taken aback when I heard what they went to get. And in fact, what they had received. And as we all know, you know, as you said, you know, the ex-president talked as if his place had been ransacked, and, you know, the FBI agents are all over the place. And come to find out that they've been working for an entire year. And you and I would have never been given that kind of courtesy. Mm-hmm. They've been working for an entire year to get the documents back that the president took from the White House, which he should not have taken, but did. And after a year, and after some other information that came in from someone on his staff or family or whatever, the FBI thought and the Justice Department thought it was time to go and retrieve that information. You know, and the question is, why would he take highly secret documents to his house and lock them up in his safe? And incidentally, he, you know, the FBI didn't break into his safe. It was open, clearly, because they had the paperwork telling them that those documents had to be retrieved.
Wow.
But I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked.
Hey, Bishop Avenger, we got Bishop Akins. He's calling in. He's not able to get on Zoom right now, but he is on the line. Bishop, you on the line, man?
Yes, I am on the line listening to Conversation Unplugged.
Wow. Yeah. Bishop Kevin Akins, what's up, man? You know, next week is going to be a very special show. We're going to be on for 2 years, so we'll talk offline what we're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're definitely going to be live, just doing a reflection on 2 years on the air. So I asked Bishop his thoughts about the FBI executing a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago, you know, obtaining classified documents. What is your take? What were your thoughts when you heard that the FBI was raiding Mar-a-Lago, Bishop A?
You know, it's to me, it's almost like a water kind of boiling on a pot, so to speak, simmering, you know, that it's bound to occur, bound to happen. I think one of the things that we look at when it comes to standards, that there still seems to be, even though they began to move forward, sometimes you can kind of say, well, it's about time. And because sometimes when you deal with a different standard, you know, privileges happen. But I do know that, you know, as they begin to go in and to investigate, the importance is that, you know, sometimes we feel like people have gotten away with an offense. I'm gonna say it that way. That way, I'm gonna keep everything clean on the air. And yet, it still say, well, no, we need to look into this and investigate it. And so sometimes you look at it and say, okay, well, is something really going to occur or happen in reference to their findings or in reference to or what they have discovered or uncovered. You know, I'm still holding my breath in a sense to figure out what is going to occur, what is going to happen, and would justice prevail? And that's really important. So when, you know, when you have it that the FBI has gone in and they have said seized, you pretty much say, well, that's good. That's a good start. That's a good start, finally. But there's still more to come. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop and to see exactly where things roll. I do know that some conversation has been had early on in his running when he started, and some things that were said. You know, everybody knows exactly some of the things that were kind of morally incorrect, but yet it changed the fabric of our nation and put us in a tailspin because of the character. So I'm just looking forward to figure out, you know, hey, what is going to come to it?
Because you're about saying it's going to be more than one more shoe drop. Probably several shoes.
Well, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask both of you a question before we go into our station break in 3 minutes. When former President Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton, it was revealed about his extramarital affair with Monica Lewinsky, there was right-wing conservative outrage. You know, like he committed one of the greatest sins that a man could ever have done walking this earth. And I'm not condoning it, and I'm not trying to justify it. I raise this example. I take us down memory lane to ask this question. If there was so much outrage about former President William Jefferson Clinton's extramarital affair with Monica Lewinsky on the right, why is it that the right isn't more outraged about classified documents being taken from Mar-a-Lago as much as they were outraged about the Monica Lewinsky situation? What's your thoughts about that, Bishop? And then Bishop Bacon.
I think that, first of all, that was a moral issue, a moral failure on the part of President Clinton. But it was not a governmental issue. That was something that took place that his wife, his family, family of Monica Lewinsky and himself had to deal with and should have dealt with. It should have never gone through the process of what they went through with that, particularly in an attempt to impeach him for that. And yet, this president has been impeached twice and accused by a special prosecutor of breaking the law prior to this situation here. And as a matter of fact, he broke the law over and over and over again while he was in the White House. Monuments Clause and every other. I mean, he has thumbed his nose at the law over and over again. And these folk act as if he's the darling of our nation. Mm-hmm. And that's despicable to me.
Wow. Bishop Bacon's 1 minute. Yo, what's your thoughts about that? The right was outraged about Monica Lewinsky, but not outraged about Mar-a-Lago and classified documents being kept at his residence.
I agree with what my brother and mentor of exactly what he had brought up based on a moral failure, personal moral failure that did deal with the aspect of his personal inner circle that was made now in a civic arena. I think one of the things that becomes important is that we are dealing with civil government and the fact that we are dealing with government officials, we're dealing with administration, which now deals with our, a civil unrest because now we should be taking the same intensities that happened with the former president, Bill Clinton. We should be moving into that area now, and the same force, if not more, simply because it's dealing with the civil arena. And I know more to that after the break, but I just wanted to kind of bring a dovetail off of my brother, Bishop Abinger, because I do know that we are kind of off tilt, unbalanced when it comes to, you know, this idea of what justice really is, especially when we're dealing with the other sides of the coin, and the fact that we still have a far step to travel, so to speak, or to take when it comes to real justice.
Wow. So this is what we're going to do. We get ready to go on a 30-second station break and Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM. I want to take the station break by asking the following question, and we'll address this question when we come back off a break. Why is there still an overwhelming support for Donald Trump in the midst of this FBI raid? Again, why is there still an overwhelming support for Donald Trump even after this FBI raid? What we're going to do is we're going to take a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB. We're going to come back and unplug that question.
You're listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB with Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, brought to you by Lancaster Bible College, Capital Seminary, and Graduate School. LBC Philadelphia location has programs for busy working adults in accounting, business, Bible, communication, ministry, community transformation, and social engagement, human services, criminal justice, healthcare management, and more. Connect with LBC and Capital Seminary today by visiting lbc.edu/philly or call 215-280-6339.
We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. I have as guests today, Bishop Steve Abinger of Greater St. Matthew's Baptist Church, and our co-host, Bishop Kevin Akins, who's with us via phone today. Just want to announce for those who would like to call in with questions or comments, you can call in 1-888-329-3306, 1-888-329-3306. Again, join us for the Battle for Families 2022 Church Tour with Bethany Christian Services at Vision of Hope Baptist Church, 908 West Avenue in Jenkintown, PA, on September 11th, 2022 from 3 to 5 p.m. This is going to be a great concert. Willie Moore Jr. is going to be present as we put focus on foster care in Philadelphia and how to get African-American churches involved. The Battle for Family 2022 Church Tour will be an exciting takeover that you don't want to miss. Bethany Christian Services' first Battle for Family winner, Bam Travis, will be performing his new single, Compromise, which was produced by Fred Hammond. Proceeds are to support kids and families in Philadelphia. Bishop Akins, is I to announce what's going to take place, or should I just hold off on that?
You can hold off. I'm still working to get it, but we can do a preliminary announcement.
Our co-host is going to be opening up, hopefully with this group, but our co-host is going to be opening up for this particular event. So we got more information to come. We also want y'all to join us next week as we celebrate 2 years on the air. Can you imagine that, Bishop? 2 years on the air.
Wow.
Two years. It just seemed like yesterday Conversation Unplugged was launched. Hey, man. The question here is, as I look at this article, Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel claimed in a statement that Democrats continually weaponize the bureaucracy against Republicans. I guess they're crime victims now. And a number of Republican leaders came to the former president's defense on social media. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, a California Republican, wrote that he had seen enough. Someone else says, Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. I've seen enough. The Department of Justice has reached an intolerable state of weaponized politicalization, the Republican leader wrote. When Republicans take back the House, or if you take it back, when Republicans take back the House, we will conduct immediate oversight of this department, follow the facts, and leave no stone unturned, GOP State Senator Rick Scott of Florida said, "We need answers now. The FBI must explain what they were doing today and why." I start off with the question, why is there an overwhelming support for Donald Trump? Bishop Akers, start us out with this conversation, and I'm going to have Bishop Avenger provide his thoughts.
Wow. I think, that's always been the question. I have to say it this way, and I know I'm going to kind of bring it in from a different angle. And okay. I think the importance is, as we look at the angle that I bring it to, that some of our listeners may be able to concur with what I'm about to say. The one thing based on entertainment, because I come from that area of music,
right?
We get to the point to find out that when I was signed to Sony, one of the marketing reps mentioned to us, if you want news to travel based on this entertainment, doesn't matter the publicity that you have. All publicity is good publicity when you're trying to get your name out. One of the things that was discussed was the fact that when you do something contrary or there's some news that will travel, they usually say bad news travels very far. A lot of people will hear it. And that continues to strike the ego. And so that's dealing with the entertainment world. Everyone wants to be heard, applauded, quoted, what have you, regardless of a good, bad, or indifferent. What I see is just a continuous to apprentice or a continuous to the area of trying to be popular. And so it does not shock me in that regard, because when you look at just the landscape and the platform of entertainment, the world's concept enjoys entertainment. And when you really look down and you look down the corridors of time to find out based on presidency, based on those that are there, and you can say based on controversy, you know, we can come through a lot of the civil as well as our the presidencies over time can equate to some areas that have been questionable or news that have traveled far and even the characteristics. But this one here, I would say the political figure as well as the entertainment, as well as the entrepreneur, as well as the television, quote, star, or what have you, it falls into his wheelhouse. It falls into the nature of the conversation of trying to get more followers. And so it doesn't matter how he gets it. The fact remains that through entertainment and entertaining households, you begin to start gathering individuals and people.
Wow. Bishop Avenger, why is there still overwhelming support for Donald Trump in the midst of this FBI raid?
From two perspectives. Number one, from a general perspective in terms of the Republican base, I think they have totally and completely whitewashed their brains. Mm-hmm. They believe with all their heart that somehow this guy is a saint, and he ain't. Mm-hmm. They clearly believe every word that he says, which is dangerous in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And they have formed this coalition, which is a minority, a huge minority in this country, which was indicated during the last presidential election, where they showed that they came out as best as they could. They threw everything they had, and they got that man the most votes any president had ever received. Mm-hmm. And he still lost by 14 million votes, mm-hmm. Which goes to show that they are still a minority. And that their minds have been blown. But secondly, in terms of their leadership, mm-hmm. in the Republican Party, I think they have lost completely their moral standings because they have lost their moral compass. They are so concerned about power. They are so concerned about getting controls of the reins of government and governmental power, so they can do the wrong thing, not the right thing, the wrong thing. Here we are. And so when the leadership has lost its moral standing because it has no moral moral compass, then how do we expect the base to respond and to react? And this country has down-spirited, spiraled in such a way that it frightens me that people say the things that they say, take the positions that they take, right. Spew the hate they spew. And it all began, of course, I think it was there anyway, just mm-hmm. not as prevalent, but Donald Trump, I don't care what anybody said, he unleashed an evil in this country that has taken hold. And as far as I'm concerned, there is nothing moral about him.
Wow, you said a lot. You know what really baffles me about this whole situation, both Bishop Akins and Bishop Abinger, is that the death threats that have emerged because of this FBI raid. Black Lives Matter, and I want to go into that at around 1:31. Black Lives Matter never, ever invoked death threats. The Black Panther Party never invoked death threats. Correct me if I'm wrong, I stand to be corrected. Those who call for justice in the communities for people of color, those groups I, you know, particular, just mentioned, never raised death threats. Civil rights movements never raised death threats. You got me?
Yeah.
But yet, when Trump's Mar-a-Lago is raided by the FBI, the FBI now is facing threats. The judge who signed off on the raid to take place, that person faces threats. Why is it that every time you oppose a right-wing conservative agenda, or you go on a particular news network and you don't agree with what they don't agree with what you say, then they want to issue death threats? Matter of fact, when Brett Kavanaugh's accuser accused him, she had to change locations because she faced threats. So why is it that, I'm gonna ask this question, we'll pick back up after the station break. Why is it that these threats are emerging after the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago? Let's hold that thought. Let's go to our 30-second station break and come back from Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. And if you would like to call in and raise a comment or question, call 1-888-329-3306. 1-888-329-3306. Let's go on a 30-second station break right now.
You're listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB with Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, brought to you by Lancaster Bible College, Capital Seminary, and Graduate School. LBC Philadelphia location has programs for busy working adults in accounting, business, Bible, communication, ministry, community transformation, and social engagement, human services, criminal justice, healthcare management, and more. Connect with LBC and Capital Seminary today by visiting lbc.edu/philly or call 215-280-6300.
We're back on Conversation with Plug on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. Bishop Kevin, I just want to say the following as we go into our second year radio anniversary. My oldest daughter, Jasmine Nicole Weathers, both of my daughters, but this message was given to me by Jasmine. She went to a wedding in Seattle Island in North Carolina. This young lady's wedding she went to, they went through the whole school system together. And before she moved to North Carolina, they started out in daycare together at the age of one. So they've really been friends since the age of one. Bishop Akins, the reason why I'm telling you this story is because her sister called my daughter to the side. They've known each other since kids. And her exact words were, "I listened to your dad and his host on Conversation Unplugged, and I really enjoy the show." This is North Carolina. You got me? Wow. This is North Carolina. And then when I was at your banquet, your 20th pastoral banquet, and two of your members pulled me to the side. No, one member and one guest pulled me to the side, one in Delaware, one in Philadelphia, said, "I really enjoy your show." You got me? And so that really allows me to understand the impact that we are having. Now, we're going to do something big as far as funding for the show, but we'll talk about that next week. That's a major announcement, all right? So, hey, Ken, I just want to let you know, last part, when I lectured in Nigeria a couple of weeks ago with my former student who passes in Abuja, Nigeria, the two subjects I lectured on, he even told his students he listened to the radio broadcast, or he checks it out Facebook Live in Abuja, Nigeria. And that's not no overhype even, all right? So, hey, man, we are extending the reach and don't even know who we're reaching, but that's what Conversation of Blood. All right? Hey, so, yeah, blessings, man. Why is it that these death threats are emerging? You know, this is crazy. FBI raids Mar-a-Lago, right? And the death threats come. Bishop Avedjan, can you unplug that? And then Bishop Akins, let's really unplug this.
Let me start this. Can you imagine if we were sending out death threats to the FBI, the Attorney General of the United States of America? Can you imagine if we were doing, I mean, publicly doing it, what would happen to us?
COINTELPRO is our history.
I think some of it is white privilege, that they feel like they can do it and nothing is going to happen to them. In fact, the way they talk is, "How dare you have the FBI in our affairs, in the affairs of our leader? How dare the Attorney General enforce the law on us?" The way they approached the march, well, it wasn't a march. They tried to overthrow the government,
right?
But then when they were arrested, it was like how dare you arrest us and put us on trial? You are. And that is the kind of attitude, that is the kind of spirit that Donald Trump has deliberately released. And I think that the Attorney General, the FBI, they ought to treat those threats the same way they would have if it was the Black Panther members of the Civil Rights Movement that would do something that bombastic.
I do got to mess with you, but you said, "How dare they arrest us? How dare you do that? How dare you tell us to wear a mask?" It's like, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and how dare you to hold me accountable? And Trump did say when he was campaigning, I may misquote this, "I could shoot someone in Times Square and get away."
Yes, that's what he said, and that's what he's been doing. Not literally, but he definitely has been doing that figuratively.
Yeah, like I could take classified documents and take them to my home and lock them up, and I can get away with it. Bishop Akins, what's your thoughts, man?
I think both of you are bringing up some really good conversational pieces with this as it pertains to the facts that have been gathered over over his tenure, over his time. You know, when I think about all the things that have transpired, and we also know that with anything based on life, if you have a let's say a mountain of problems, mm-hmm. all you have to do is add one little problem on top of that, and then it can all come tumbling down. I think what we have noticed or witnessed is a building up, you know, of, you know, in not only just injustices, but building up of the coin of white privilege in that sense, building mm-hmm. up of an imbalance, building up, you know, of just this area of unfair, how can I say, the privileges as well as the responsibilities that are had have been lessened, tossed to the side, put aside for them to think that they can do whatever they desire to do and get away with it. When you really look at that imbalance, it's almost like it's tilting to the area, you know, of evil. And so when you begin to start looking at that, we can kind of put it in the tinge, all of us are pastors, you know, and you really can say that there is a spiritual wickedness. I can call it neurology, Nero, when it comes to Neroism, you know, yes. when you really look at that. And when you really look at the that history, biblical history, as well as, you know, the civil with that, the connectivity, we find that nothing new is under the sun, and we're experiencing some biblical, really persecutive times, you know, in this area. And I look at it, and I'm amazed in a sense to say, again, I'm going to use the words that my brother used, the moral compass mm-hmm. is off. When you look at that, you know, when you deal with, you know, I can shoot someone and get away with it. That you know, just the thought process. You can deal with, here it is, you can act unseemly with females in a sense and do such that was mentioned, I'm not going to mention on the air, and then nothing can happen. And you start yeah. looking at every little tinge that we begin to see occur. And then the insurrection, January the 6th, to kind of catapult or erupt, that everyone is all out of order, chaotic. Really, you know, where we are right now, it is a major imbalance. It is a change and a transformation that's happening, but it's really we become more desensitized to the stuff that's happening, and we have to have an awareness now. Let's say, hey, you know, not only the church has to take his rightful place, but those that understand what right from wrong without redefining what is right. It's almost like that's where we are. You know, we're redefining what's right and what's wrong.
Wow. You just said something, and I'm leading to the question on my Facebook Live page from my line brother, Jeff Hayes, out of Charles City, Virginia. You said it creates an awareness. And what hits me is that's kind of interesting, Bishop Akins, that you would make the statement that it creates an awareness, because there is a right-wing radical agenda out there that wants to basically stop people from being awoke, cancel awokeness, cancel culture, cancel being woke. Mm. So you talked about awareness, and as you were talking about awareness, there folks are now trying to stop us from being woke. All that being said, Jeff Hayes, my line brother in Charles City, Virginia, says, for those who don't know what line brother means on the air, that's my fraternity brother. Yeah, no, seriously, there are those who are listening. Yeah, yeah. Now, Bishop Avenger is a Kappa. We're not going to hold that against him, Jeff. We're not going to hold Jeff says, is Liz Cheney the dragon killer what would a Cheney candidacy do to the party? Bishop, so this is what I find interesting. I think, I don't know if I said this to Bishop Akins, this is what I find interesting. I'm not trying to throw conspiracy theories. I'm not trying to be radio shock jock, but it's kind of interesting. Jeff would raise this question because he raises the question, is Liz Cheney the dragon killer? What would a Cheney candidacy do to the party? Well, first, I find it interesting that the raid happened a week after Dick Cheney provides a campaign commercial for his daughter and indirectly criticizes Trump. I find it
He directly
criticized Trump. I also find it amazing that the raid happened a week before the Wyoming primary. And I just thought the timing of that was just very interesting. Now, is Liz Cheney, okay, Marcitello will be right on. Is Liz Cheney the dragon killer? She voted for Trump, what, 80, 90% of the time?
Yeah.
It wasn't until her life was in jeopardy by the insurrection that the turn happened. You got me?
Yeah.
Cheney candidacy do to the party? I think absolutely nothing. I don't think she has the national appeal with the Republican base that can have a difference. You know, if Sarah Palin went on the opposite end, maybe, you know, went against Trump, maybe that could happen. Or Chris Christie, which is not going to happen. What's your thoughts before we talk to Marcia Garfield?
First of all, I don't give any kudos to Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney opposed everything that President Biden attempted to do in this administration. Everything. And so what she's standing for is to preserve the real conservative wing of the Republican Party. Now, at least you could talk to them. This other group, you can't even talk to.
No, you can't.
But I would dare say that if the far left had gotten into power, there would not be a whole lot we could be able to say to them, because they would take things to the other extreme.
Right, because there's no more moderates. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, we're moderates.
I'm talking about politically-wise. It's like they're moving the moderates out, both sides. Yeah,
there's no doubt about that in terms of, in power. But I also beg to differ in this point that a Liz Cheney candidacy for president could kill Trump.
Really? Wow.
Because I think that the real conservative movement is larger than this primary group that comes out to vote in the Republican primaries. But they cannot control the general election, which is why they're going to the extremes to get certain people elected, Secretary of State, governor, so that they can illegally, what they cannot legally do. Yeah, Liz Cheney will kill Trump in terms of the number of votes that she would take away from a Trump candidacy.
Well, that's a great point. Brett, we're going to hold off on our 30-second station break. We're going to go right into the caller. Marcia Garfield, welcome to Conversation Unplugged.
Thank you, and I say good day to everyone. Thank you for taking my call. I hope that you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Dr. Payne. I appreciate that. I definitely have to say good day and God bless you to Bishop Avinger, and of course to my beloved pastor, Dr. Kevin Akin. I thank you once again for having such a conversation as this. And as I'm traveling, I just wanted to touch upon the fact of power that the people have. That sometimes the people forget, and I refer to the people as being the people who are carrying the burden most oftentimes, who are walking heavy in some sorts and not heavy in others. But we still have the power, and I just want us to not forget that. Not forget, and I refer to the power as the power to vote. So we need to utilize that the option that we have, and it's not really an option anymore, because we see if we don't vote, we see what happens. We see when we don't encourage others to register to vote, we see what happens. So let's not let that fall by the wayside, because that power is it can be impactful. It can be impactful for those who are coming up to be this next generation. So we all know someone who is turning of age, be it male or female, niece or nephew, cousin, even if in our own house, our own children, to encourage them to register to vote, because it really does matter. It makes a difference. I'm proud of, because of one vote, I try to make a difference within the community and be boisterous within the church body. That is so important. I try to bring resources back to the church, you know, because I know how important it is. I know the importance of just what you're saying and just how it affects us as a people. But we cannot, you know, just be mad. And maybe they're doing this to fire us up, because we need some firing up, you know, from time to time. We need to be awakened. We need to be shaken, if you will, to stir up the thought that we aren't doing enough. It came down to a discussion of a matter of this last election cycle, based upon the questions that were asked, that the other party, the Republicans, they kept pushing for new voters so that registration number increased. Unlike us, you know, we can't get reserved. We can't rest in knowing that, you know, we do have a Democratic leader in charge of the White House, in charge of the nation. You can't rest in that. No, you have to keep pressing. You have to keep working. You have to keep going back and gaining those people who don't yet understand or who may be swayed otherwise. So you have to keep talking. So it is important. And, you know, and once again, I say I am a product of that one vote within the community. So, you know, it is up to me, and I put it on up to all of us. It requires of all of us to get back out there time and time again to keep voting and keep pressing the word. Keep pressing. We have to be reminders. We pray for certain things to happen, and then when we're given those things, such as the power to vote, we sort of sometimes brush it by the wayside, not to the speakers, but to others listening. We sort of brush it by the wayside, but we cannot do that. We cannot rest, you know, and have it assured in others that, oh, they'll take care of it. No, it's still our responsibility. It's still our responsibility as, you know, we go forward, as the foundation is laid. The players are being placed in certain areas, as Bishop Avinger has stated, as Bishop Akin has stated. These people are placed in position. They want them in position for a certain reason. And so we know this, so let's put ourselves in position. Use that power that we have and continue to press forward with the vote. Thank you so much.
Well, thank
have
you.
A good day. I'll continue listening. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Reverend Pam Shaw, God bless you. Thank you for calling in Conversation Unplugged.
Hey, good afternoon to all of you. Thank you so much. I get so engrossed in the conversation that I forget to call in. But just a couple of points for me. Number one, relative to these threats, and I know this goes without saying, but I still feel compelled to say it. They are real, and they mean it. This is part of that group, and not everybody, that made it very clear how far they will go if it means destroying the government. to have their way. The second point for me is, what could be our visible response? Because, you know, just as there are protests and demonstrations, I wonder, do we need to be very public about the fact that, oh, no, you won't, or that we believe this is right and it should continue? And the third thing, when people want to complain about the FBI and you know, the investigation and, quote, unquote, what they needed to do down at Mar-a-Lago, that's what they are there for. So how could the same people who want to yell about, you know, justice, not real justice, but at least law and order, complain when an agency of the government does exactly with what it's been charged to do? Thank you. That's my comments for today.
Thank you. For the latter part, we have another comment from Jeff Hayes. Why is it that they're complaining that they are a political party of law and order? It's because when they are out of order, they don't want the law. Yeah, when they're out of order, they don't want the law. They want the law and order on us because they see us as people of color, black and brown, those that need to be controlled and dealt with. But when it comes to others who are operating in an unorderly manner, they don't want the law when they're out of order.
Because there's two perspectives of justice, right? When we talk about justice, we're talking about equal justice under the law, right? Mm-hmm. No man is above the law. When they talk about it, they mean just us.
Mm-hmm. They come across like, you know, they flip the justice. What I mean by this is, you know, they flip it by saying us is just, but when it comes to justice, it's just us and not you.
That's right.
You know, now leaving you out, Bishop, I want you to tackle this question in the next 3 minutes. That we have left. Jeff Ponche says, why do the Democrats seem not to be able to sway the independent voters in the midst of all the turmoil that the party of 45 continues to generate?
You know, I think, you know, I mean, I can definitely speak on just the fact that the importance of voting. I think Minister Garfield kind of mentioned about the importance of us getting out and to vote. Mm-hmm. I think some of the issues that we deal with, there is an unknowing, there is an ignorance. Mm-hmm. We have more informed Democrats when it talks about the information that's on the ballots, when we talk about those that are the hot topics of discussion. If you don't know, you know, those that go to the actual poll to vote, when you go into the booth and you begin to start looking at your candidate, you start finding out exactly the information of why it's important for our votes to be heard and for the individual that we're voting for. I think we have a lot of ignorant votes. Mm-hmm. And because of it, you know, how can you persuade anyone if you don't have the information yourself? I think it's important for us to really be an intelligent voter. And us as Democrats, when we begin to start understanding who we're placing parties, do your homework. And I think that when we do our homework, we can begin to start now going out and beginning to have those conversations with the independent voters and those that have not even attempted to vote because of personal reasons. They can begin to say why it's important for us to vote.
Wow. Bishop Avenger, for the next minute and a half we have, why is it that the Democrats seem not to be able to sway independent voters in the midst of all of the turmoil that the party of 45 continues to generate?
Well, I disagree with that. And I think the first evidence of that is the fact that by so many millions of votes. I mean, that wasn't just Democrats, that was Democrats and independents. Now, he came into a firestorm with the pandemic, economic upheaval, unemployment, the messages that was going forth in terms of anti-mask, anti-vaccine, he came into all of that and had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And none of that was his fault. but the buck stops with him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of the negativity, a lot of the negatives that's on him is beginning to dissipate. They're getting things passed that's going to benefit a lot of people in this country. And I think at the end of the day, when independents go to the ballot, whether it's a Ron DeSantis or a Donald Trump, they're not pulling that lever. And so I don't think that we've lost independence. I think that they are still on board. I think you'll begin to see a shift, especially as a result of the myriad of legislation that the most progressive legislation that we've seen in 50 years in this country. And one last point, if I may. I think when Biden began, he was a little far left when he made the adjustment and began to come back into the middle. Then you begin to see a change in the whole climate and his messaging even that I think is going to benefit him and the Democrats during midterm elections.
So all that being said, we have to bring the show to a close. Bishop Akins, I got some material left over for next week, so I don't know how we're going to shape the second year anniversary. We didn't get to talk about the fund the FBI. You know, we got so much robustly into this conversation. I don't know how we're going to, you know, what we're going to do next week, because we still got meat from this meal that we can share here. So we're going to unplug. Let's join next week as we celebrate 2 years on WWDB 860 AM. I want to thank Bishop Steve Avinger for being our guest today. Bishop Akins, God bless you, man. Thank you for being on Conversation Unplugged. Let's come back next week and unplug this conversation again. All right? Take care. God bless.
All right.